Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lined to right to the corner. Fair by a foot. Marlins win. Kyle Stowers lines a single to the right field corner. Tanoha scores. Pirates hang their heads and get walked off in Miami. 5-4 Marlins win on opening day.
All right, I blame myself. Not for that game yesterday, but for Malzi not being here. He's now sick. He's under the weather. He's out of commission. So it'll be me for the next 4 hours, and then Dan Zangrilli will get you ready for another rousing and exciting, fun-packed game of Pirates baseball heard right here on the Pirates flagship station. 93.7 The Fan. I'm going to do something outside the box. This isn't really always smart. It's actually pretty dumb. I've got budgeted here and planned an entire hour, or almost an entire hour, without talking Steelers. I've got almost an hour of no Steelers talk budgeted here to start the show. And given what's going on with their quarterback visits and Aaron Rodgers, that's probably not the wisest thing. If my boss is listening, he's probably cringing hearing me say that. But I can't neglect or ignore what happened yesterday down in Miami, because I have a unique point on it. I think I haven't heard anybody else say it. And I think it's what we should be talking about today. And the glorious thing about not having Malzi here and also having this very precious real estate, being able to do afternoons on this great station, is that I get to pick sometimes, especially when the boss is out and he's not in, I get to pick what we're going to talk about, and there's no pushback or no one saying, no, don't do that. And so that's where we're going to go to start. What happened in Miami, and what a loss like that means. It's 1 of 162, and so the Pirates apologists are already out saying those things. I picked 71 and 91, got a little bit of pushback on that yesterday. Had to deal with Jason Mackey and Dan Zangrilli off the air talking about 84 wins and trying to shoot sunshine and rainbows up my rear end. But I live in the real world, and I said 71 and 91. And by the end of the year, I think Derek Shelton is on the unemployment line. And I think Ben Cherington is panhandling for another job in Major League Baseball. That's how little I think of those two guys, which really shouldn't be surprising with Shelton, because the guy hasn't won diddly squat. Cherington, a little bit more surprising, because he does have a World Series ring on his finger from his days in Boston. And I think that's where my anger lies. And yes, I'm angry. I've lived here since 2010. My daughter is walking around our house yesterday in a Pirates shirt that I got her. And my wife's walking around in a $150 Pirates pullover or zip up. That's how expensive they are now, that I got her for Christmas. Okay, so we got all the Pirates paraphernalia and gear out to watch the game yesterday, and getting snookered back in and then watching them blow that game. The owner takes it on the chin all the time. And at 204, this is not me saying that I'm absolving the person who's at the very top of the organization when the organization fails, because the buck has to stop with the person at the top. So when Mike Tomlin does a bad job and the Steelers are mediocre and 9-8 and aren't winning playoff games, yes, we can get angry at Mike Tomlin, and we do, but it's ultimately Art Rooney who employs him and gives him the lifetime contract. So some of our venom should also be directed at him. Yes, we know the state of the Pirates' payroll. We know how inactive their offseason was, where they did practically nothing. And we know the payroll is at the same point, if not a tick lower than it was last year, which is completely unacceptable with Paul Skeens going into his first full year with the Pirates. But I don't want, hey, if you think that's what the conversation always needs to be about, and that's what you want to say or how you want to react to yesterday's game, the phone lines are open, 412-928-9370. Charlie Borges is back in Green Tree, and he's manning those controls right now. Yesterday's game was a matchup of a team in the Pirates who have double the payroll of the Marlins. So a game like yesterday is not about money. The conclusion that you draw from blowing that game should not be, well, here's skinflint Pirates, or here's frugal Pirates, or here's stingy Pirates. They double up the Marlins in spending. I love baseball. Other than seeing Jeff Conine's kid in the lineup and the Edwards guy who hits leadoff for the Marlins, who fantasy nerds know, there ain't another guy in their everyday lineup. You'd have to be a baseball savant. You'd have to say, I don't like having sex with people. I don't like kids. I don't like work. I don't like my job. I don't like going out and eating food. I don't like hanging out with friends to know everything about the Marlins. That's how big of a baseball geek you'd have to be to know their lineup. They spent $41 million on players. You think we're peeved off? The 9 fans they have, as evidenced by their attendance yesterday, goes to show you that nobody cares there. So this is one of the rare occurrences. There's like 3 or 4 teams that the Pirates play where they're actually the team that spends the money to get players. You can't cry poor when you play Miami. Which gets me to my overall point here. It is time. I've heard people say on this station a lot, I don't know how to judge Derek Shelton. I don't know what to say about him. Look at the lousy hand he was dealt. Or they say about Ben Cherington, I don't blame him. Look at the money he's had to work with in free agency. Guys, wake up. Get out of your Rip Van Winkle slumber that you're in. Both these guys blow. Both of them are absolutely terrible at their jobs. Shelton stinks and Cherington stinks. And yesterday is evidence A, exhibit A for that. Look at what they did. Look at what they do. Look at how that game was lost. You've got a guy at first base who's a catcher who did not play a game at first base in spring training until the very last day. That's how haphazard, that's how lousy their process was to decide that position. Every baseball team, every one of these analytics freaks who got Ivy League diplomas and Patriot League diplomas out their ass from schools like MIT and Yale will tell you until you're blue in the friggin' face how important process is. It's all about process. Sometimes we don't even care about results. Our process was sound. Your process here was that you didn't give a guy reps at first base until the very last day, then you throw him out there? What the hell is that? That ain't good process. That ain't putting a guy in position to succeed. You've got a utility man, an IKF, who's like out of the Sean Rodriguez central casting, jack of all trades baseball department of the baseball toy store. You've got IKF out there at short. He plays, that's his worst position. And he's your everyday shortstop. He threw a ball away, didn't get an error, but drew Rodriguez off the bag. That's what opened the door in the first inning where Paul Skeens gave up his first run of the year. So you've got a guy at shortstop playing every day there now. You take away his great trait, which is utility. You've got a catcher at first, which I would have been fine if Rodriguez, if they had said in, I don't know, early March, hey, all these other options suck out loud. Maybe we'll go with the young guy. Nope. Instead, they throw him out there to the Wolves the last day, and then expect him to play first base flawlessly. You've got O'Neill Cruz. I can't believe it took me 9 minutes to get to this. What am I doing here? O'Neill Cruz in center field, clearly, He either doesn't want to play out there and is doing it against his will and is like launching an active protest against the Pirates by playing the position like a 9-year-old boy who'd rather pick dandelions and the wedgie up his ass crack and eat sunflower seeds and chew gum than actually give a rat's ass about playing the position competently. He throws to the wrong base. He lets the ball go over his head in no doubles defense at the end of the game. He's got no clue. He either doesn't care or his baseball brain is the size of a peanut. And either way, you as an organization have to manage the player and evaluate the player and get the player to buy in and get the player to do the job effectively. And they haven't been able to do that. So he's out there either actively pouting in center field or he's a total space cadet out of the friggin' NASA program. You've got an inferior catcher. Your best defensive catcher is at first base. Your lesser of the two defensive catchers letting two pass balls happen. Well, you've no clue what you're doing with your bullpen. You don't tell people what their roles are. You just throw them out there scattershot. Holderman looks like the old Holderman from last year. Bednar looks like he's still completely lost and has zero confidence. You haven't imbued him with any kind of belief or anything like that to get the job done because you've got him again out there in the most high-pressure packed situations. Guys, the owner drops the ball. I understand that. It ticks you off. But when are we going to wake up here to the idea that the GM and the manager have no idea or no clue what they're doing? Remove the things on the plate of the GM that are the fault of the owner, like free agency. So don't judge Ben Cherington on free agency. Judge him instead on players that he's drafted and developed. Because that's not a financial thing. That's a decision on his part. When he spreads money around and takes Henry Davis one overall because he wants to draft Bubba Chandler later or make moves later in the draft, that's not Bob Nutting being cheap. That's the GM making that call. When he takes Nick Gonzalez in the first round, when he takes Henry Davis 1-1, go back and look at his trades. Joey Bart was a really good deal, at least it looks that way, because he didn't give up anything for him. Rodolfo Castro for Bailey Falter, pretty good. You traded a backup infielder for a decent left-handed starting pitcher. When you find another good one, let me know. In the 5+ years, going on 6 years he's been here. Yeah, I'm hacked off. Because you're really up you-know-what creek when the owner doesn't give you every resource and the people that are doing that job are incompetent. And that's what it feels like after watching them yesterday. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Jason in Avalon to start. Hello, Jason.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Where do I even begin? O'Neill Cruz cannot play center field. He don't look like he wants to play center field. 99% of the center fielders in baseball are going to make that catch on a play that's going to decide the game. And then he throws it overhead to show you how good his arm is. Who cares how good your arm is? I don't care if you can throw the ball 200 miles an hour. The guy has to play first base or DH. I mean, he gets everything down the line. He'll give everything up the middle. He doesn't have to use his arm. I mean, this team is a mess. And Cherington stinks.
Thank you, Jason. I know. I tried to cover it all. I had someone in the Pirates organization tell me this years ago. I still think it's right. I think O'Neill Cruz would rather be cool than be great. I think he wants to look cool. I think that's priority number one. And until he starts to make the fundamental plays or starts to make the like sacrifices to play winning baseball, I'm going to continue to echo that because I know I'm not on an island in thinking that because people inside the organization think the same exact way as me. 412-928-9370. Yes, I'm full of piss and vinegar. I got myself worked up. This could be a Steelers free hour because I just think there's too much meat left on the bone from that game. And for once, when you play a team that has a $41 million payroll and your payroll's double than theirs, this goes to show you it's not just about money. The GM and the manager suck at their jobs. 412-928-9370. That is the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, a person in your law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Back with your calls on the Bucks, but first a Charlie headline.
How flexible are you as manager with the guy came to the bullpen right now? I know you said you're not attaching labels.
I mean, it's one game in. We have guys that have to perform, and you know, I have faith in that our guys will get it done.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Derek Shelton telling DK Pittsburgh Sports that he has faith that his bullpen guys will get it done. Well, Derek, here's a newsflash. I have zero faith in you to get things done. You are, by record and win percentage, one of the worst managers in baseball history. Not Pirates history, baseball history. And, yeah, everyone has crowed and stood up for you at times and said, well, you're just a victim of circumstance. You're a martyr. You manage the Pirates. Look at the players that they hand you. You played the friggin' Marlins yesterday, who have half the payroll size that you guys do. They're running out guys who look like they're MVP baseball 04 create a player. Guys you've never heard of. Fake players. We could play a game, Marlins infielder or U.S. congressman, and people wouldn't be able to tell the difference between the two. You blow that game. You've got guys playing out of position. You've got playing sloppy-ass baseball. If the Steelers played a game like the Pirates did yesterday, we'd have full phone lines of people saying, get this clown coach out of there. So that's why I'm fired up today after watching that game, and I'd love to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Mulsey's off dealing with the sickness that I gave him. Here's Eric next. Hello, Eric.
Hey, good sir. I'm glad you started the show this way. I usually sit in the car line and listen, and I don't get to complain about the Buccos nearly enough. I fell in love with them back in, I'd say, 91. And then I realized about 2015 I needed some therapy because I was in couples therapy because I was in a loveless relationship and that they were never going to love me back the way that I loved them. I just don't see any way, you know, I understand the manager's a nice guy. After yesterday, I just don't see any way that anything makes sense anymore to pay any attention to this team at all. I'll watch Skeens, you know, in a couple years when he's in a big-time market actually playing for something. I'm not even going to waste my time, to be honest. It's just infuriating.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate everything you said there. Your honesty, your brutal honesty. You want to get me to buy back in and believe again and invest again? Get rid of the manager and get rid of the GM. That would show you mean business. That would show me that you're unhappy with the results. Eat a little bit of money and show both of those guys the door. I've had it. And we know it's hard, and we know it's a tough job, but the Guardians have a lower payroll than the Pirates. They were in the American League Championship Series last year. The Rays are always competitive. It's damn hard. It's super hard. It's way harder to be the Pirates GM than it is to be the Dodgers or Yankees GM. But it can be done by small market teams. There's usually a team that's bottom five in payroll that makes the playoffs every year. Yeah, it's really friggin' hard. But these guys are showing me they're not up for the task. And when you're playing other small market teams that are spending even less money than you, and you're beating yourselves, and you look like you're process, how you're putting together your team, how you're going about winning is completely farcical. What's the point? Sheldon should have been fired at the end of the last year, and now I'm convinced that Charrington should have been let go too. Here is Jake in Green Tree. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Andrew. Thank you so much. You've pretty much covered all of my commentary. But hey, thanks for being hacked off. You know, a lot of people in this town should feel the same way. And by the way, the Pirates, actually, I think they created the definition of an insanity. Because you see, this, it's the same thing happening over and over. And you made some great points about their futile draft choices. But look at their lineup. And I think you touched on this. I heard you on a nightly sports call. Was it last night with Richie?
Yep.
It's so weak. There's no power threat. They strike out. What did they strike out, 12 times yesterday? I think it was 12. And it just, it's on and on and on. It's the same, it's, as I said, it's like repeating the same thing over and over. And you're right, Shelton, he should have been canned. I don't know why they brought, in fact, why did they even give him an extension 2 years ago? I'll never understand that part.
Thanks, Jake, because they were like, this is, we're off to an amazing start. We're headed in the right direction. I mean, I even got sucked into that. I'll raise my hand and say I was a dunce. I was an idiot. I thought that they had something going too, that they were building, that they were improving, that they were on the fast track to being competitive again, that we might get to relive 13 through 15. No, not with these guys. I got to listen to people tell me Matt Haig is going to be some miracle worker. Like they brought in some hitting guru that is going to fix Key Brian Hayes, that is going to turn Tommy Pham, going to turn back the clock with him like he's playing for the Cardinals 10 years ago. He's going to make IKF a legit hitter. Henry Davis didn't even make this team. Jack Sawinski was on the bench yesterday for Tommy Pham. Give me a break. Look, I mean, the owner's got to wear it for bringing these guys back. But yesterday is proof that it's not just about the money you spend. They didn't lose a game to the Dodgers. They didn't lose a game to the Yankees. They're beating themselves against a $41 million payroll team. Here's Stan in Ohio. He's next. Hello, Stan.
Hey, first thing, first base. You got a guy playing 5'10". You got a guy sitting on the bench 6'3". Even hitters. Who's going to – Triolo would have made those two plays in that one inning.
Problem is Triolo can't hit his way out of a paper bag, though. That's the issue.
I know. Rodriguez ain't much better.
Disagree with that. But your second option that you're bringing up is a weak hitting, feeble hitting first baseman. That's the position. Thank you for the call. That's the position of Willie Stargell we're talking about. You're supposed to get power there. And the better alternative is Jared Triolo. That speaks to the ineptitude of the organization. Charlie's in Washington County where I live. Hello, Charlie.
Well, good afternoon. I had one comment about automatic strike zone, but I want to get back into ragging on Shelton. Why is every coach and manager like a player-friendly care bear type? Where are the Lou Piniellas? Where are the Jim Lelands? Why is that not the authoritative figure you want in managing your team? What's your thoughts on that?
Modern-day athletes, they make way more money than the managers. They feel like if they get after those guys, they'll turn it off, they'll quit, they'll pout, they'll force trades, they'll work behind the scenes to get the manager fired because managers are viewed by the pencil pushers and the number geniuses to be basically fungible and replaceable. And that's why there's very few managers who make serious money. It's not viewed as a big deal anymore. I mean, even casual baseball fans buy into that now. I'm astonished by the number of casual baseball fans that say things like, well, the manager doesn't matter. He's probably, good for two or three wins or two or three losses a year? Like, it's almost like in the minds of baseball fans, they've been brainwashed into thinking that the position doesn't matter anymore. But thanks, Charlie. Appreciate the call. Let's get to some happier thoughts and happier ideas. We'll take more of your calls on this too. 412-928-9370. Can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Two things happened in hockey last night involving two of our most beloved, favorite athletes in Pittsburgh history, and one guy who was despised for years, who I must admit, I now like. I'll tell you who that is next. Quick timeout, then we're right back. Here's a headline from Charlie Borges.
Drives it deeper. After it is Grizzlick. Sent behind the net. Crosby in front. He scores! Crosby, the most consistent of them all. His 20th straight season with a point per game. It passes Wayne Gretzky for the most in NHL history. Sir Sidney, one of the best to ever do it.
And it looks like, look, it is
As best you can tell, Alex Ovechkin gathering all of his teammates, telling them, don't go back to the locker room. That is legend recognizing legend. Look at that, Ray. Alex Ovechkin got the guys out of the tunnel, brought them back on the ice and said, no, we have to go shake hands with Marc-Andre Fleury.
As I said, I don't recall seeing this other than Wayne Gretzky. There's just nobody that quite has connected with people around the league like the way Marc-Andre Fleury has. He's a remarkable person. Every stop he's been to, he has been a most favored son, and it's because of the way, A, he plays, but the way that he treats people. It's a great thing to see.
Hockey Talk. Segment sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar, fan beer of the month. Hey Honey from Two Frays Brewing, benefiting Young Adult Survivors United. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't spend some time on both of those marvelous moments in hockey last night. Hockey history, actually. Pittsburgh hockey history. Sidney Crosby breaking that Wayne Gretzky. Can I spit it out of my mouth? I don't think I like saying his name for some reason. Because in this town, it's Mario 1 and Wayne 2, and maybe Sidney Crosby fast approaching. John Steigerwald tweets out every day that Sidney Crosby was better than Wayne Gretzky. And I'm starting to appreciate that more and more. But anyways, two things that are, I think, going to go down as iconic moments. Sid breaking that record, 20 consecutive seasons of averaging a point per game. I don't know if it's still true, if it's exactly up to date. Hockey aficionado Charlie Borges would be able to fact check me on this, but Sid was leading the NHL in 5-on-5 points the other day. If he still is, that is just a ridiculous testament to his ageless wonders as an athlete. It is depressing, but it also, I think, is a metaphor for this season, how it happened last night. That he scores in what was a blowout loss to the worst team in the NHL. He gets the record in, like, it was a hollow goal. Otherwise, if it wasn't a record-setting goal, it's like one of the most forgettable goals of Sidney Crosby's career. But he does it to break Wayne's record. And among Sidney Crosby's individual accomplishments, I now think it's his best one. I don't mean like awards-wise hardware, like Hart trophies or Conn Smythe. I mean, in terms of statistical numbers, statistical achievements, it's number one because it speaks to being great for a long time. Not just good for a long time, great for a long time. So anytime we get to wax poetic on Sid, I'm going to take a few minutes to do that, and it's obviously appropriate right now. I think we have, Charlie, we've got Sullivan on what Sid did, and we've got Sid talking about it. Is that right? Do we have both? Okay, let's hear the horse right out of the horse's mouth first. Let's hear Sidney Crosby on what it meant to him to break that Gretzky record.
It's probably hard right now if I lost like that. I just think that there's a lot of guys who've contributed to that, so I'm thankful for the guys that I've played with that contributed to it, and it's special milestone, but obviously play to win.
Oh, you had your family here for it. Just how thankful are you that they were able to be here for the record win?
Yeah, it's one of those things where they sacrifice a lot and support you all these years. It's nice to have different moments with them, and I've been fortunate. They've been a lot of different games and memories and events and things like that. So nice to have them here tonight.
All right. So the first part of that response from Sid is classic Crosby. He gets this record, but he sounds like he's sullen and he's down in the dumps because they just got completely blasted by a horrible team. And he also is quick to give other people credit for his own achievements. That's the mark of a leader. That's the mark of a great person, that he looks around and says, these people made it possible, and doesn't pat himself on the back. Here's Mike Sullivan, who's coached Sidney Crosby through his 30s and through these golden years. And Sullivan going to continue to do that, even though the Penguins are one of the worst teams in the NHL, because no coach in this town gets fired anymore. Here he is on what it meant to be in the building, behind the bench, watching Sidney Crosby get this record and having coached him through two Stanley Cup wins and more.
Crosby gets the point per game record. Just what does that say about his consistency that he's been able to do this 20 times now?
It's remarkable. You know, he's in such rare company where he is right now. You know, with every milestone that he crosses, I guess he just it just puts him in more elite company than he's already in. So I just think, you know, when you think in terms of 20 seasons in a row with such consistency, it's an amazing accomplishment. It doesn't surprise me because I know how hard he works and I know how hard he trains and he controls everything within his power to set himself up for success and ultimately the team. But, you know, I've said it on so many occasions, just his passion for the game and his willingness to put the work in to continue to be at his best. It's just remarkable.
It sucks that this wasn't at home and it sucks that this wasn't on a good team. That Mike Sullivan has to praise Sidney Crosby as the Penguins are wallowing among the dregs of the NHL. And I agree with what Subban said. Bad messenger, not a Subban fan, but he was right. Sidney Crosby deserves better, even though Sidney Crosby's had a small hand in all this. Again, out of loyalty because he wanted to stick with the Penguins, but also wanted to do it with the guys he won cups with, talking about Letang and Malkin. And I hate to say this about Malkin, but he looks washed. He looks like his career is absolutely over. And he's got one more year left, and that'll be it for an iconic player. On the Marc-Andre Fleury moment last night, I hope that play-by-play from ESPN did it justice here on the radio that you weren't able to see it. If you haven't seen the video, I posted it on social media, on Twitter, of Ovechkin saying, no, wait, we're not going to go into the dressing room. We're going to go back out like it's the end of a playoff series, and we're all going to shake Marc-Andre Fleury's hand at center ice and thank him for his service to hockey and his great career. And so my takeaway from that is this. There are few athletes in professional sports who I can think of who I've gone from hating more to now liking more than Alex Ovechkin. I obviously, when it's Sid versus Ovechkin, you pick a side, you hate the other. If you're Ohio State, you don't root for Michigan guys. If you're the Yankees, you loathe the Red Sox. If you put on the black and gold for the Steelers, you think all Ravens players suck and you don't want to respect them. And you, especially when you're a Penguins fan, you want to basically give a middle finger to everything Flyers and everything Capitals. And especially when Ovechkin was out there gooning it up and taking runs at Sergei Gonchar and Malkin. And when idiots on TV were saying things like Ovechkin was better than Sid, you take that personally here. But that was a class act by him last night. And generally speaking, like the longevity of Ovechkin and also the fact that he does it on like the Phil Kessel diet. And he's not like, you know, no, I don't say this is not at all a slight to Sid, but Sid sells out and does everything in his power and makes every single sacrifice to be the best hockey player in the world. It is incredible that in this day and age of sports medicine and sports science and sports fitness, that Alexander Ovechkin eats two Subway sandwiches, a bag of spicy, hot Cheetos before a game and goes out and gets a hat trick. And the fact that he recognizes Marc-Andre Fleury as a great rival who he can respect and do something for at the end of a game, I love that. I thought that was tremendous. And yeah. So I hope Ovechkin gets the record, and you know what? I wouldn't mind if it was against the Penguins in Game 82. So what? I said it. 412-928-9370. I'm live at beautiful Studio B, Bowser Monroeville, Bowser Chevrolet here. Amazing showroom. Our outstanding Studio B. We sound so good out here at Studio B now. Coming up in just a few minutes, the Steelers are bringing in a first-round prospect quarterback on a draft visit. Who is it? Why does it have Joe Starkey turned on? And how would you feel about the Steelers picking him with the 21st pick? Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment. It's the PM team. Here's a message from Malzi.
Hey, it's Chris Muller for Mitsu by the Mall. Shorkey Mitsubishi North Hills, the place to go if you want the best deal and the most affordable all-wheel drive SUVs on the market. It's your lucky day, as a matter of fact, right now, if that's what you're looking for, because Mitsu by the Mall has great deals on great vehicles, like the 2024 Outlander. They still have some in stock because they've got the best inventory in the area when it comes to Mitsubishi, and they are priced to move right now, up to $7,000 off at Mitsu by the Mall, or you can grab 0% financing for 60 months. The Outlander, it's awesome. All the bells and whistles you want, plus room for seven passengers. How about great deals, too, on Eclipse Cross, up to $4,500 off. Outlander Sports, as low as only $23,000. And every Mitsubishi is bringing to the table that 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Plus, you can get 3 years of prepaid maintenance and up to 125% of Kelley Blue Book value for your trade, regardless of year, make, model, mileage, or payoff. Luck is on your side right now at Mitsu by the Mall. Check out more at JimShorkeyNorthHillsMitsubishi.com.